This radio program is PG-13. Parents strongly caution some material may be inappropriate for children under the age of 13. Set me free. Of the chains holding me. Is anybody out there hearing me? Set me free. Jesus' mission was to comfort those who mourn, bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to captives, and open prison doors for those who are bound. For those who want more than status quo Christianity has to offer, Blazing Grace Radio begins now. And here is your host, Mike Janung.
Hey, Mike Janung here. Welcome back to Blazing Grace Radio. Thank you for joining us. And this show, just like last week's, is being recorded here in Helsinki in Finland. And last week I was speaking with Aura Elliott, who lives here. Her and her husband Jeff are our ministry partners, and we are partnering up to create Blazing Grace Finland here, where they will be taking our content, we'll be creating a website in Finnish to offer help to the sexually broken here in Finland. And last week Aura also read some statistics saying that 90% of Finns, this is a secular survey, have been viewing porn at some level, and that's men, and then 50% of women. So the numbers have gone up over the years. And so, Aura, welcome back to the program.
Thank you, Mike.
So let's kick it off by having you share a little bit about your story, your background.
My background is that I grew up in a Christian family, and I came up seeing porn for the first time when I was 10 years old. And it was at the Christian conference where my parents were attending because of their work, because they were in full-time ministry. And the boys who were showing me these porn magazines were my parents' co-workers' children.
At the conference?
At the conference. Oh, wow. We found the magazines at the underneath a bush outside where we were playing. So someone had hid them there. And when I saw them for the first time, I just thought that, oh, what ugly pictures. Who wants to watch this? And I started, I met my husband when I was 28 years old. We got married when we were 30 years old. And when we got married, I knew that he had a problem with porn. I naively thought that, you know, it's not going to affect us because he's admitting to it and that, you know, he's working through it and he wants to repent and stuff like that. But it wasn't quite that easy.
So how did you know about this beforehand, before the marriage? Did you catch him? Did he open up with it? Or
He told me himself when we were courting, so he did confess that he's struggling with the issue. And we attended a seminar. I don't remember what it was. It was for the dating couples or engaged couples or something to that effect. And I don't even remember whether it was in Finland or some other country in Europe, because he was serving with a missions organization when we met and was working with them as a missionary. So.
And you said he was working on it in the early part of your marriage. Was he participating in groups or doing it on his own, or what did that look like?
Yeah, he was working on his own. He had gone through counseling and had worked through some of the issues from his past and his childhood, and also that led him to be hooked on porn, mostly because he was lonely and alone, and other friends. He was at the boarding school in Germany because his parents were missionaries in Europe, and so it was both because of his loneliness that he fled to that excitement, but also because of friends who were introducing him to these pictures.
And how did his issues with pornography affect you?
Well, probably the way they usually affect all the wives or spouses whose other half is hooked on porn. It leads to maybe he wants to, you know, ask you to perform something in the bedroom you don't want to do, or you feel uncomfortable doing or trying. And then, of course, that, you know, he doesn't want me, you know, because I'm not attractive. And it just breaks the covenant, because there's always someone else in the bedroom, and you always know as a spouse when, you know, your husband has been watching porn or doing solo sex, because then he doesn't need to touch you.
Yeah, women have that sixth sense. Mm-hmm. I know, where they can just read us like a book.
Yeah.
And can you read? Does that mean you can read the shame in your husband's eyes when he's done something?
Shame, but also the fact that, yeah, the shame, he avoids eye contact. He avoids intimacy. He even, you know, usually, you know, he goes to work early in the morning before I'm still in bed. I'm just waking up when he's already going to work. You know, he doesn't kiss me goodbye. He comes back home and he barely kisses me, or, you know, or there's nothing physical between us in those days. And then I know that, okay.
Kind of like his heart is missing.
Yes. Yeah, you could say that. Yeah. And he's kind of like avoiding, you know, any contact, barely even speaking with me.
Is there comparisons with yourself and other women?
He's never done that verbally with me. But, you know, of course, I play that in my mind, because, you know, he's not interested in me, and I'm supposed to be number one in his life. You know, I'm the queen, you know, but he's not interested in his queen. So then, of course, you start comparing, especially after, you know, giving birth and gaining weight and having had some health issues, and, you know, I can't go to the gym and be so fit and whatnot. You know, I think women always kind of, I think if they're honest, you know, you always kind of compare, you know, I'm not so trimmed and whatever, and then he's not interested in me, so he must find someone else more attractive.
And what does this do to trust?
It breaks the trust, of course it does. Mm-hmm. You know, and then because he's not willing to share, then I'm not willing to share. And then, of course, it immediately, there is that break of trust, because then I don't want to reveal my true self, and I don't want to reveal my heart and trust him, because he's acting not trustworthy.
And sex is not just a physical act, right? There's an emotional...
There's a big emotional bond and spiritual bond as well. And I think that's really what it is. At least I, as a believer, I can't imagine how someone can sleep around, because there is always that bond. It's just not, it's not only the physical act, but it's, you know, it's the spiritual, psychological bond, and yeah.
Which is why masturbation doesn't work,
yeah,
right?
No, it doesn't. And it's very, I think it's also very selfish when it comes to how God intended sex to be. He intended that it's inside, within that, the marriage covenant, and it's a big part of that. And it should not be anywhere else. And that sex is meant to be something that you both enjoy, and you help the other person enjoy it. And when you do solo sex or masturbate, then you're just thinking about yourself, and you're projecting somebody else who's not your spouse. So you're bringing somebody else to the covenant. And it's not what it's about. It's supposed to be about.
Well, in sex, we bond with the person we're looking at, and we climax. And obviously in marriage, it's supposed to be the spouse, but in solo sex, there's like an emotional misfire that happens.
Mm-hmm.
And the person literally bonds with the self, and then self becomes number one. And so it's what self wants becomes a driving force. So if I want sex my way when I want it, my spouse doesn't, oh, well, I can go watch pornography or masturbate or whatever it is. And then pride takes a front seat. And this is how it corrupts the entire character.
Exactly. And then you don't even need to watch porn because you can play the film in your mind. And then after that, you know, even if your spouse is willing, then you have no need anymore to meet with your spouse because you already were happy with your own self. So it becomes this vicious cycle, and then the other person is left alone and wounded and sad and, you know, I'm betrayed, I'm forsaken because the other person was being selfish or meeting his own needs, not trying to meet my needs as well.
Yeah, it's all about me.
Yeah.
So what I'd like to do now is have you share the top three things that a wife going through this would need to know.
Okay. The three things that come to mind at first, these might not be there are others, but first of all, that it's never your fault that your spouse is watching porn or doing solo sex or masturbating. It's never your fault. It's not because you're too fat or you're not pretty enough or you didn't put the fake lashes on or your hair is not right or you're not ready for all the gimmicks in the bedroom. It's never your fault. And you should value yourself enough, you know, to know that it's not your fault. Another thing is that, you know, there's always shame and guilt blinded with porn or solo sex. So you're driving your spouse further away if you start blaming him or trying to shame more. But you have to be firm and tell him how it affects you and your relationship with him, that it is his problem, but it affects both of you, so that he knows that, you know, there are effects. It's like a stone dropped in the water, you know, it ripples and it goes to the shoreline. And to hold him accountable so that, you know what's going on. And the third thing, that it is possible to gain freedom from the anger you have and the bad feelings, and it's possible to find freedom and your self-worth, and also it's possible to find that trust again between the two of you and the intimacy, but it takes work, and you have to work through those hard feelings yourself, and you have to find your self-worth in Christ and your self-esteem, because this problem will rattle those things in your life.
And then on top of all that, we have an enemy who comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and he's attacking the wife. We find mm-hmm. that a lot of women get attacked with fear.
Yes.
Quite a bit. What did that look like for you?
I guess I'm a little bit different in that sense, that I never really battled with fear. Because, yeah, I just didn't. I guess I just had a really good self-esteem in that sense, that I didn't battle with fear that he's gonna hurt me again or whatever, because he had hurt me and that was it. Mm. And the good thing between us was that he always, you know, he wasn't trying to hide. He wasn't trying to deny the problem or deny the fact that, you know, I failed and I failed you and I didn't fulfill my task as a or responsibility as a husband. So I think that sort of kept me from having the fear in my life.
So there wasn't blaming?
Huh?
There wasn't blaming? He
no,
wasn't blaming
no,
you?
No, he never blamed me. So that was, in that sense, it's, I know that most of the time men blame their spouses, that it's, you know, you were not willing or you're not pretty enough or you became fat after kids or whatever, or you're always tired. But it was never, at least he never voiced it. So
how important is prayer for the healing process?
Yes, definitely. You need to pray. You need to pray together, but you also need to pray for your spouse and you need to pray for yourself as well. And it's amazing how God can heal you and heal your heart just through prayer. It's just the fact that he's speaking the truth about yourself to your heart.
Mm. That sounds to me like an intimate love relationship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. Yeah. And also, of course, the right choices that you have to. I think it takes courage, but it's possible that, you know, that you ask God that you do the right thing and you do the right choices. You are the best spouse you can be and you make godly choices in your marriage and in your family and with your kids, even though this thing is going on.
Talk to the wife who is alone and is wondering if she tell who she should tell. Should she tell her family, her relatives, her parents?
Our story is a little bit different in that sense as well, because my husband came to this country and he didn't really have any close friends. He had friends, but one of his first friends or people that he trusted and prayed with was my dad. So in that sense, it was a little bit different that I think that my dad pretty much knew what was going on. But I would find a trusted friend, not a lot of friends, but a trusted friend or a counselor who you can talk to and pray together and who can encourage you and pray with you when you're down.
Hmm. So for the rest of this broadcast, we're going to flip the script, and I told Aura she could ask me questions. I've never done this on the show before, and so it's in your hands.
Okay. Well, a lot of the listeners have heard about your story, and you share about that in your newsletters as well. And but if there are new listeners and you've never been listening to Blazing Grace show before, Mike had a problem with porn and also sleeping around with even paid women. But and even while in the church and being a good churchgoer and a Christian, but what was the root cause for your addiction? Because there's usually always a heart issue, and that causes you to fall. So what was it for you?
Well, for me, it came about my youth. I grew up in a family where there was physical abuse, where if I even didn't eat my meal right, there would be a beating coming. So a lot of my experiences as my youth with touch and if were not good. I mean, the wrong side of it. So I grew up, you know, with a lot of fear, a lot of anger from that, and then a lot of self-loathing. And then my mom molested me when I was 14 years old. And that really turned everything upside down. Mm-hmm. And this is a Baptist church going family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So all this is going on when we're, you know, doing the church thing. And but by the time I was 14 and this happened to my mom, I internalized the idea. And in our youth, we don't understand what we're doing all the time. Yeah. But I internalized the idea that if this is what church is, what do I need it for?
Yep.
And so, but what people have been molested, self-loathing, self-hatred are really big things. I felt slimed and mm-hmm. ugly and horrible. And so I was trying to medicate it with pornography and masturbation and sex with women. But of course, it doesn't work.
Yeah.
Sex cannot fill a hole.
No. So it was really trauma-based and abuse, and that's why it's so important that we talk about these things and that we have trained, knowledgeable people in our churches who can address these issues, but also help these young people also who are being abused. So, when you were started to seek help, obviously, and we've been talking about wives in this program today, what was the most helpful thing or helpful things that your spouse did when you sought help and redemption from your addiction?
Now you're forcing me to think.
What were the things that your wife did that helped you?
Sure. When she was accepting, when she didn't shame me when I screwed up. It was very painful for her, and I remember sobbing and crying. And there was a lot of damage and wreckage of her heart, too, but she stuck with me, and she got her. One big thing I appreciated was she trying to get help, because I didn't want to see her keeping all that pain and poison bottled up. Mm-hmm. I knew even that it would not work if I went and got help, and it's like being stabbed in the back. You have to get help.
Yeah.
So she was kind. She expressed her hurt and her pain as she needed to, but she still walked with me and she wanted to learn. I remember in 1991, I committed adultery with a prostitute in a hotel room. She flew out, and I had been going to a 12-step group for sex addicts, mm-hmm. and I left that book in our home, and she grabbed that book, mm-hmm. brought it with her to the trip, and then as we're driving home from the East Coast, she brings the book out, and there are 12 questions or whatever it is on how to tell if you're a sex addict. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to crawl into a hole, but it was still good because mm-hmm. it was open communication.
Yeah. So how do you make sure that you keep that open communication with her nowadays?
We both have to make it a priority. We make praying together a priority. We try to pray together once a day as best we can. And I think that's the real critical foundation, bringing that third chord of God into it. And we really try and cut each other's slack. We know each other's mistakes, weaknesses, faults, failures very well now. But we've gotten to a point, thankfully, where we can listen to each other. And even one of us says something not good to the other, we can apologize quickly and we pick it up. We don't sit there and get bitter about it and we keep moving.
Yeah. Are there any other practical things that you do that help you not to fall?
Prayer is a big one. In fact, I would say prayer is probably right up there at number one. Mm-hmm. Every morning I have to have my prayer time with God. God, please crucify my flesh. I want to walk in the power of your resurrection. I know this flesh wants to go and maul women with the eyes. Mm-hmm. I know it's there, but so what? God, I know you're much bigger. You can help me now. Help me to want only my wife. Mm-hmm. Help me to only appreciate her. And also, excuse me, my own self-talk a lot of the times is I'm 63 years old. I've got long COVID. I'm a married man. I'm also a son of God. What in the heck is going to get me any value at lusting another woman? Mm-hmm. There's just nothing there for me.
Yeah, that's important that you realize that. on the whole. And I think that that goes back to the covenant part of the marriage, that you made a covenant with that one person.
So we got 30 seconds left, and dang, Aura, you're a pretty good host. I should let you host an entire show. So, my friends, thank you for joining us. And you can listen to this show on our website, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. Thank you for joining us, and we'll see you next time.
Bye-bye. Do you want to be free?
Blazing Grace is a nonprofit international ministry for the sexually broken and the spouse. Please visit us at blazinggrace.org for information on Mike Janung's books, groups, counseling, or to have Mike speak at your organization. You can email us at email@blazinggrace.org or call our office in Chandler, Arizona at 719-888-5144. Again, visit us at blazinggrace.org. Email us at email@blazinggrace.org or call the office at 719-888-5144.
This program was sponsored by Blazing Grace Ministries.